Planet FM is a platform that champions diversity. Not all our programs reflect the views of the station. We encourage you to consider a wide range of information from trusted sources when making decisions about your health.
Yes, we have people like Grant Robertson who walked out from the Magic Radio interview and said conspiracy theory, it's rubbish, and he conveniently forgot to point out that himself and Jacinda Ardern attended the World Economic Forum conference in Davos in 2019, subject the Great Reset. So we should not be surprised that our politicians lie repeatedly to us. They are not transparent and they're never held accountable. They break promise after promise, they tell lie after lie, and somehow they are immune to any kind of repercussion. And so it's very much our belief that we will not get any redress to the situation through the political system. Every party is in Parliament is party to the United Nations agenda. They're all on board. There may be a small handful of MPs who are lower down the pecking order who aren't aware. But we've got people who say things to sound like they are fighting for freedom, but it's just controlled opposition. All the political parties in power all are many sides of the same coin. They're all heading the same way.
Kia ora, greetings and welcome to Planet FM 104.6. I'm Tim Lynch and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth. On the phone from South Island of New Zealand, I have Heather Mary Pennicle, who is one of a number of people from aag.org.nz. It's the Agricultural Action Group, who are voluntarily touring our whole country, especially in rural areas and the districts and counties, talking to the farming inhabitants and all growers about imminent changes in the way we are now being governed, or we are to be governed, be it from central government to local government. This is especially in relationship to the United Nations Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030, and what it means, but also how the Great Reset of the World Economic Forum from Davos in Switzerland is going to be, from a planetary perspective, overlay a new economic model that covers every survival contingency regarding the well-being of the 7.8 billion souls on this planet, including all biota within the biosphere. So thank you and kia ora, Heather Mary.
Kia ora, Tim. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing very well, I must say. I feel very fortunate. I'm eating well. I'm getting enough sleep. When I say enough sleep, you know how it is. Very busy yeah. Times at the moment. So, Heather Mary, you and Rob Wilson, I interviewed you about 4 weeks ago. It was excellent, and I noticed there's a lot of activity on YouTube as well as greenplanetfm.com. People are very interested. So what is your focus at the moment as a spokesperson for the Agricultural Action Group?
Main focus always, Tim, has been getting out into the countryside and communities in New Zealand and bringing them up to date with what's actually happening. Because until people realise what's going on and where it's coming from, you can't address any issues if you're just working with symptoms rather than the root cause. And at the moment, there's so many new legislations coming out from our government that people are just fighting fires, fighting little sparks all over the place, but not realising often what the agenda is and where it's coming from. So we've done around about 80 meetings, the length of New Zealand, over the past 6-7 months, and 37 of those have been in the North Island. Just recently up in Ngātia, did a talk to a
yes.
room at Ngātia, and I was actually up in the Coromandel doing some training. We've got some really exciting new information which we are promoting on our website, and which people will be getting access to teaching about that, the length of New Zealand, over the next few weeks. So I'll mention that towards the end of the talk. But what's also happening when we go out around the communities and we're doing talks is that we encourage local groups to form when we leave, and we're about bringing the information and the links for people to do their own research and then to decide how they will move forward in their community. And so often we see these local groups forming and they all take their own direction, do what works for them best. And so a couple of weeks ago we did a talk. We had 250 people turned up to a talk in the Nelson area at Upper Mutiri, and when we left, they formed a local group, which they called Tasman Land Stand, because for those people, the SNAs, the significant natural areas, is a big focus at the moment. The council has just sent people out letters with big rings around huge areas of their land saying this is now going to be designated an SNA, a significant natural area. Now, this may or may not include native bush or anything that you can recognise as needing protection. It can be some people had an area of gorse mapped off as an SNA. But what it is, it's a blatant land grab. Because once this land is designated SNA, you still pay rate on it, but you have to fence it off. You have to do the weed control, but you are not allowed to put stock on it or to use it. So people say, well, we need to protect special areas in New Zealand. Well, actually, people that I know are already using QE2 covenants, riparian planting, fencing off native bush. People are proud to conserve our environment here in New Zealand. There might be a very, very, very small minority of people who aren't playing by the rules, and they definitely need to be addressed. But you don't blanket legislate the entire country and treat everybody like a criminal and cripple their viability on their farm. People are losing anywhere between 30% to 90% of their land use.
Could you explain this? This is shocking.
It's absolutely shocking. In Northland recently, I actually went and had a quick talk at a locals meeting in Kaio in Northland a couple of weeks ago, and there has been 42% of the land in Northland has been claimed as SNA. 42%. There was plenty of people at that meeting who their entire piece of land, apart from the piece where their house actually was and 1 metre around their house, everything else they owned had been designated SNA.
Now, can I ask? It is that way. Now, I know Kaio gets affected by floods sometimes when a cyclone comes down. They're not just saying, okay, because these areas get flooded, that wanting to...
No.
That's good.
No, clarifying
that.
And so what they're doing is there's also going to be more legislation due out in, I think it's July still, the National Policy Statement on Indigenous Biodiversity. Now, in there, they're going to take the criteria for allocating SNAs and make it even more widespread. So now they're including mobile fauna. So for example, the native falcon. If they say a native falcon usually flies over your property and rests in your pine plantation, we're going to put it circle around your pine plantation and make it an SNA. It's just insanity. So once you take away this amount of land and people can't use it, can't harvest or plant or run stock on it, most of the time you're destroying the viability of their farm. And again, you start to go, well, this makes no sense. But it actually does make sense if you look at the big picture, where is this coming from? And for anybody who didn't hear our talk a month ago, we presented on there, part of the information we presented is that in August 2019, the Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, was the keynote speaker at the Goalkeepers Conference in New York. Now, that's where the countries go and report on how well they're achieving the United Nations Agenda 21-2030. Now, she was the keynote speaker because she was very proud to stand up and announce that in New Zealand, she had already implemented all these agendas through all our legislation. So she had implemented it by August 2019. So this is not something that's coming at us. It's something already put into our legislation, and now we're seeing it beginning to come out into the public.
Yes.
And so if you're just a lay person who looks up the Agenda 21, or it's been rewritten as 2030 now, then you could read those 17 Sustainable Development Goals and think they sound wonderful. We're going to eradicate poverty and have equality and have a sustainable future, look after our environment. That all sounds good. But what you can do on our website, which is www.aag.org.nz, is go to the link where you download the fine print of what that agenda actually is. And it's a 352-page document. And as you say, as you mentioned earlier in your introduction, it covers every aspect of our lives, healthcare, education, everything. They want to stocktake every single living being, resource and mineral on the planet. So, of course, they can control it. But it talks about what actually they view as unsustainable and they want to eradicate. Now, on that list of what's unsustainable is private ownership of land, i.e. farming, private ownership of motor vehicles, roading, irrigation, ski fields, golf courses, even the family unit is listed in their eyes as unsustainable and something they want to eradicate. So once you start to read the fine print, you start to go, well, my goodness, this is where our government is taking us, then these insane legislations which cripple our agricultural sector actually start to make sense. And so it's quite important that people do their own research, because when they're listening to me saying things like this, if they haven't heard it before, it does sound quite crazy. And the government likes to call everybody who speaks opposite their narrative conspiracy theorists. Well, there is a conspiracy going on, but this is not theory. And on our website, we have the video of Jacinda making that speech. We have the link to the United Nations agenda document, which is a United Nations document, so it can't be denied. And you get in and you look at what's happening and why. Now, you also mentioned the World Economic Forum. And so once you destroy the agricultural industry in New Zealand, our economy crashes. And we know from the advertising campaigns and the book written by Klaus Schwab, the chairman of the World Economic Forum, that they are going to use the COVID lockdown crisis and the ensuing economic devastation to drive this economic worldwide meltdown. And then they will offer both countries and individuals the opportunity to have their personal debt forgiven as long as you sign an agreement saying you will never again own any public property. And again, this sounds crazy, but you can actually find, we've got on our Facebook page an article printed in the Forbes magazine, just exactly this, the World Economic Forum, talking about running their advertising campaign that it's the year 2030. I have absolutely no privacy, I own nothing, and I'm happy. That's what they have millennials on billboards and television adverts in Europe promoting at the moment.
Yes, all right.
And sorry, just to put that in perspective, if you go back and look at David Rockefeller paid the people who wrote the UN Agenda 21, and they say quite openly, and himself in videos and speeches you'll still find on the internet, that United Nations Agenda 21 is based on communist China. We are moving towards the state controlling everything in New Zealand. Communist.
Yes, with greenplanetfm.com here in New Zealand, we've been aware of this thing called incrementalism, and then or it's progressive, little by little, bit by bit, and creep. And this is what's happening.
Yes.
We've been losing our freedoms over the last 30 years. We see this crimp coming more and more and more. And so consequently, I'm very, very keen to make sure that New Zealanders get to know what's going on, because it's imperative. We're having to draw battle lines at the moment, aren't we, Heather Mary?
Yes, we are. And it's like, as you say, incrementalism, boiling the frog, who doesn't even realise he's being boiled because the temperature increases ever so slowly. And there's interviews of people who survived Nazi Germany who say, you know, if everything happened all at once, we would have stood up and fought it, but it happened tiny law change by tiny law change. People's freedoms were removed. There is a horrendous act of Parliament called the Domestic Terrorism Act, which is going to be coming into force soon. And it actually gives New Zealand police unprecedented powers equal to those that were seen in Nazi Germany, where the police can, without a warrant, come turn up at your house, search it, take anything they want, arrest you on suspicion of you're going to be anti-government or say something harmful to the public, i.e. anything other than the government narrative, only source of truth. Now, you don't only have to have done something for them to think that, but they can also take that course of action based on the premise that looking at your behaviour or the Facebook pages you frequent or your comments or whatever, that you could be a future danger to national security. So when that comes in, we're going to see people just taken on a whim, or the good old 0800 Dob in your mate's phone line, people phoning in and making complaints, and people just being able to be picked up by the police, held indefinitely without representation. It's a very scary piece of legislation to read, and I do just need to give our listeners a heads up. We've been given some information that once that Domestic Terrorism Act becomes live, becomes in force, that anybody who uses the word sovereign to describe themselves or in their posts or whatever talks about sovereignty will be viewed as anti-government and will come under big scrutiny by those people, because they view it as someone saying, I'm sovereign, I'm above the government, therefore it's anti-government, therefore it's viewed as domestic terrorism. So a big heads up to people, if you're using the word sovereign or sovereignty, I would be thinking very hard about changing my language if I was you, because that will be a red flag.
Thank you very much for this, because we do know that a lot of people now realise that New Zealand is a corporation of the City of London, and City of London, Vatican and Washington DC are three independent corporations in their own right, and it's another story for another time where we're focusing on here on New Zealand. But I thank you very much for this, Heather Mary, because we have to really educate people, because the rural sector, they're spread out, they don't necessarily have fast internet, and if you're a farmer, you're on your farm hours and hours, 7 days a week, etc. You haven't got a lot of time on your hands at the moment anyway, because of the fact that the weather is playing havoc in many ways, not enough grass on the paddocks, all these sorts of things. So you've got to put out hay and ensilage early so that your cows are kept fed, all those sorts of things, ties up the time of a farmer. And we want to be able to make sure that they have some support. Now, what's happening in Parliament in relationship to this? Most people will say, well, look, the National Party, the Labour Party, the Greens and New Zealand First and ACT are all actually in the same act. They're not really doing anything. They're never, ever mentioning Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, or the Great Reset is going to be imposed on us very shortly.
Yes, we have people like Grant Robertson, who walked out from the Magic Radio interview and said it's conspiracy theory, it's rubbish, and he conveniently forgot to point out that himself and Jacinda Ardern attended the World Economic Forum conference in Davos in 2019, subject the Great Reset. So we should not be surprised that our politicians lie repeatedly to us. They are not transparent and they're never held accountable. They break promise after promise, they tell lie after lie, and somehow they are immune to any kind of repercussion. And so it's very much our belief that we will not get any redress to the situation through the political system. Every party is in Parliament is party to the United Nations agenda. They're all on board. There may be a small handful of MPs who are lower down the pecking order who aren't aware. But we've got people who say things to sound like they are fighting for freedom, but it's just controlled opposition. All the political parties in power all are many sides of the same coin. They're all heading the same way.
Yes.
And the other thing people sometimes say to us is that, oh, well, the UN agenda, New Zealand signed it. It was signed, by the way, in 1992, with 192 other countries have also signed it. So things are happening in New Zealand, are happening in lockstep around the world too. But people say, oh, it's non-binding. Well, if you check with the top lawyers in New Zealand, we've checked with them, if your contract says this is non-binding, the moment you put your signature on it, it becomes binding. So it's one of those double speaks, and I would highly recommend everybody either looks at an online legal dictionary or buys one, because you will find consistently the words being used by the government in their acts, in their legislations, have a double meaning. A person is not a people person as we know it. It's a corporate entity. And you mentioned that the government is a corporation. So the government of New Zealand, the Crown, is Her Majesty the Queen and Right of New Zealand. It's a company on the US Securities Exchange. And so we don't have a bunch of elected people who are looking after our best interests. We have a corporation who are taking their instructions from the UN agenda, which is a global elite group, who are working for global governance and heading towards the Chinese communist system. And that's exactly what we're seeing here in New Zealand. A lot of foreigners who now live in New Zealand, they turn up at our meetings and say, can Kiwis not see this is communism 101? We're following the same playbook. And look at Stalin. What did he do? He targeted the farmers first, removed their firearms, put them out of business and force them off the land because they are self-sufficient. They can provide food for other people. They quite often have firearms. They have a fighting spirit. If you've got townsfolk, as soon as you turn off the electricity, the water and empty the food from the supermarket, people will buckle under pretty fast. But your farmers are pretty self-sufficient, and that's where the resistance will come from. So communism takeover 101, first hammer the farmers. The range of legislation and things that have come out is mind-boggling, Tim. And apart from this blatant SNA land grab, we've got the other narratives that have been made up, the false science around climate change and carbon emissions, the equations the government uses to try and tell us we produce 80 million metric tons of carbon a year is false. They've left out scrublands. If you include those, we're almost carbon neutral. And they've left out grasslands. Well, a hectare of grass sequesters more carbon than a hectare of pine forest, but they've left out our grasslands. That puts us well into the negative. The other one, which a couple of our talks lately, we've had Owen Jennings speak, who is ex-ACT MP and used to be the National President of Federated Farmers when they were doing a good job of advocating for the farmers. And he's part of a group called Farmers Against Ruminant Methane. He's exposing the faulty science and the ridiculous lies around the whole methane business. So the government has just recently been putting together some new legislation because of supposed climate crises and New Zealand's ruminant methane, the good old fart tax scenario, and has told our dairy farmers that they need to reduce their methane emissions by 15%. If they don't, they'll be taxed. Now, if you work out your average size dairy farm, if you look at paying tax, that tax will probably be around $230,000 a year. But to put this in perspective, our government is crushing the dairy industry with this directive to reduce your emissions will be taxed out of existence. So if we look at the entire methane emissions from the entire world and say, okay, that equals one Olympic-sized swimming pool worth of methane, which would be 250 million litres, that's the entire world production. How much of that is produced by New Zealand's ruminants, by our dairy cows? It would equal 6 mils, which is one overflowing teaspoon out of 250 million litres. And yet our government is going to crucify and smash our dairy industry for the sake of one teaspoon worth out of 250 million litres of the total world emissions. Again, if you look at our government's faulty science and supposedly telling us we produce 80 million metric tonnes of carbon emissions a year, sounds like a lot, it's actually false, but if you say it, perhaps it's true, let's look at China. In 1 week alone, China produces 269 million metric tonnes in 1 week. So if you took away all our supposed carbon emissions for New Zealand, it equals one-third of 1 week of one country's emissions, and it's less than 1% of the world's total emissions. And as I've said, if you include grasslands and scrublands, New Zealand is carbon negative. And there was a scientist I was speaking to a few months ago who'd done a complicated equation where he included the crops we grow as well in New Zealand, how many months, they're what size, how much carbon they sequester, because he wanted to know what we should be paid in carbon credits, because he knew New Zealand is carbon negative. And he worked out we should be receiving $1.2 billion in carbon credits a year. Instead, the government narrative, remember the government is the only source of truth,
yes,
is telling us we're producing 80 million metric tonnes. They're doing things like from 2030 banning the introduction of machinery which runs on fossil fuels. Now, you imagine if you're a farmer or a horticulturist and you need tractors and harvesters and everything else. No, those big machines work well on fossil fuel, and they've everything will be being phased out, and you'll be able to get electric tractors. Each tractor will have a 10-ton battery. One 10-ton battery per tractor. How do you...
It doesn't
take
work.
Take it out, charge it.
Yep, it doesn't.
And we can't produce enough electricity even to supply one electric car per household in New Zealand. How are you going to electrically power diggers, graders, bulldozers? Well, actually, under the UN agenda, they intend there to be no private motor vehicles, nobody living on the land. There'll be human-exclusive zones, wilderness zones. They want us living in the city in high-rise rabbit hutch types apartments. And if you drill down into that 352-page document, you see it. Another great way to understand the agenda is to look on the internet for Rosa Khoury, K-O-I-R-E.
She died recently.
She did die recently, but what a legacy. Her short videos on different sections are amazing. She successfully prosecuted many states in the USA over the last 25 years for human rights abuses with them implementing this agenda. So she was a litigator, and she woke up a lot of people.
Certainly
did. Incredible woman.
Yes. Yes, well, you see, what you're actually saying is also been said on the Georgia Standing Stones in America.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, you know, I've been looking at this for years now, and I go up and have a look, and nobody really knows how they got there. And they're big, and they stand up, and essentially what they're saying on that is that the population of planet Earth would be best served at being 500 million people, and so that we could live in harmony with nature, etc. And 500 million compared to the 7.8 billion people who are sharing breath at this moment, This is something, and yet nobody's really talking about it. So I do urge listeners to go up and do a search, and I give you permission to use Google, because I
Google DuckDuckGo.
DuckDuckGo is my usual one. Google is not your friend. It hasn't been your friend for quite some while. It sucked everybody in to have a Gmail account for free, and then all Gmail accounts then can be siphoned through their dictionary computers. And if you mention the word like sovereign, or you mention anything that stands out, what they don't want, you will find that they will then tag you, and you go into their other database of the people who they are looking at. And so this is an ongoing thing too, is that we're going into the security state, and that's a huge...
police state.
That's right. And I did an interview very recently with my own doctor, my family doctor, Dr. Robin Kelly. And it was all about, we're going to go into a computerized realm. It was based on the fourth industrial revolution, and particularly transhumanism, that you're going to end up, everybody, because you're going to be in a city where we're going to have 5G and more technologies ramped up, you're going to end up with a computer chip. They're talking about the great, was it singularity? And this is all a big problem, because they want to essentially hit us with a rice-sized implant, and your life is not yours from then on, really. So that's our challenge.
You look at communist China, you can see where they want us to go. The surveillance is so intense there. If you're jaywalking across the road, by the time you get to the other side, they've already deducted the fine from your bank account.
Have they really? I was up there about 2017. And I was very impressed how they embraced all this technology. I was at Zhuzhou, just out of Shanghai, and I honestly thought I was in a super city of the future of the United States, because everything was ticking away, for want of a better word.
Yes, although the scary thing then is you've just kissed goodbye any remaining freedom or privacy.
Yes.
Every iota of their life is monitored, surveilled, assessed.
I agree with you. I travelled with Chinese people when I was there, and it was an interesting situation. Now, what are some of the things that you are hearing from all the people that you are listening to when you go up, you give your talks, say, people, get your research happening? What are some of the questions, the unique questions that people are asking you?
Well, mainly their heads just exploding because they can't figure out why the government is just targeting them on so many levels and smashing them. They all know that the agricultural sector is what's producing their GDP, and that's what's paying the interest on the debt. Pre-COVID, we owed between $600 and $700 billion in this country. So your interest alone for that is $46 billion a year. Now, that was the GDP for the ag sector in that year, which ended just before the COVID lockdown. So basically, tourism's not bringing us any revenue. What's paying the interest on our loans, 80% of which are owed to the CCP? Why would the government be smashing the farming industry? Well, the answer is that the government is following the UN agenda, which is aligned with the World Economic Forum, and they are pushing this country into economic collapse so that we will be offered that agreement, sign away your right to own anything. The state then owns you and is in charge of everything to do with your life, puts you on a UBI, Universal Basic Income. If you get a chance, download Klaus Schwab's book. It's called something like How the COVID Crisis is being used for World Economic Collapse and the Great Reset or whatever. But if you just Google on Amazon Klaus Schwab, S-C-H-W-A-B, you'll find his book. And that will show you exactly what their thinking and what their game plan is. You know, you alluded to the Georgia Stones. There's books like George Orwell's 1984. There's a myriad of movies and et cetera where they tell us what their plans are for us. And there seems to be some kind of weird moral code, not that they really have morals, that they have to tell us what they're going to do before they do it. It's all hidden in plain sight. And if we say and do nothing, that is consent. Silence is consent.
Yes, thank you very much.
There's a lot of info hidden in plain sight out there.
Yes.
Now, one thing I did just want to talk a little bit more about, Tim, because a lot of the farmers are just very upset about the significant natural areas, the land grabs. And his first step is refuse to let people onto your land to do a survey and refuse to fill out the survey form they send you or respond. What they're doing is they're sending maps to farmers with incorrect boundaries and things and saying, please respond if your boundary's incorrect or etc. Now, the crucial thing to remember here is that as soon as you respond to the letter or fill in the survey, you've recontracted with them.
Yes.
Now, we mentioned that the government is a corporate. All its agencies, be it the police, WINS, the Ministry of Justice, the court system, etc., they're all corporations as well. And fundamentally, under their own laws, a corporation has no jurisdiction over a living man or woman, only over other corporations. And if you look at every single act that's been written, they all begin, this act binds the Crown. Not living men and women, this act binds the Crown. The Crown is corporation. Why do we think that applies to us? Because A, we've been conditioned, indoctrinated that the law applies to us. And they use the word person, which, look that up in the legal dictionary, not a living man or woman. But we are turned into a corporation and Crown ownership when we are registered at birth under our capital surnames and we make a Crown entity based on our surname and our Christian names. Now, every time we fill in a form with our legal name, being our Christian and surnames, our date of birth and our physical address, and you get asked those questions, whether you're phoning the bank or phoning the electricity company or whomever, so your three security questions, when you answer to that legal identification, you are identifying yourself as your dead corporate entity, the entity that's been created from your name.
That's right.
So when you identify as that name, you become a corporation and they have jurisdiction and authority over you.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, so anything, if once you understand this, and we're beginning to teach it, we do a 30-minute slot at the end of our AAG talks, and there's a group which has come just to distill this information right down to what we really need to know and what's the quickest, easiest way for the general public to understand this and be able to implement it. And so there is a new website just gone up called landfreedom.net, and that will be adding more pages. You'll be able to book a meeting and get information. It's only just gone live, just sort of a cover page up, but there'll be more information going there. People of New Zealand need to get onto this and look at it. You can also find some of that information already posted on the AAG website. We have a resources page and a section there called Living. Because once you become aware that the government is a corporation, that they get us to contract with them fraudulently so that we identify as a corporation as well, which gives them jurisdiction and authority over us, then you understand that you can choose to stand as a living man or woman, which a corporation does not have authority over, and you can turn your back on that fraudulent system. Well, there's pros and cons to that. So there's things you need to think about. Do you wish to remain in this fraudulent system as a dead corporate entity, or do you wish to stand on authority and freedom as a living man or woman? So we are not advocating violence in any way, shape or form. We are not advocating the overthrowing of the New Zealand government. What we are advocating is that people find out the truth, understand the existing corporate system, which they have unwittingly become a part of when they were registered at birth, and that people have the freedom of choice to go, this is the system I've lived under, this is the opposite system, the living man or woman system, and I have the freedom and the right to choose which way I'm going to live my life. So everybody has the right of choice. And so once you understand the truth and it's two different options, then you have the freedom to decide which way you're going to go, and there's implications either way.
This is
so
excellent.
What we're doing is just speaking the truth and letting people decide for themselves.
Excellent. Landfreedom.net. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Yes.
And so there isn't very much up there yet, but it will be coming through. And probably the most important thing which will be happening there soon is the ability to schedule a local meeting. There'll be trainers the length of New Zealand able to go to local areas and hold a training for people to get their head around what is the truth, what is the fraud. And we do it all by producing the relevant acts and showing people, like, when someone says, go and read the act on the government website, everybody goes, oh, no, I'd rather, you know, pickle myself in custard than do that. But we can go and read these things because there's a lot of truth there. You just start noticing, just have a look. This act binds the Crown.
Yes, well,
you look at a lot of acts, they say this applies to persons. So get out your legal dictionary or get online and Google what does person mean. For example, an interesting one is the term land. We, ordinary layperson, would think that land means the soil, the whenua, the physical land.
Yes.
If you look in the legal dictionary, it has two meanings. One is the physical land, and the second meaning is something artificial, something created. For example, a fee simple title. Because a corporation cannot own anything that's physically real. Corporation can only own dead entities and artificial constructs. So if you say the land is actually this piece of paper, the fee simple title, therefore the corporation, be it the government or the council or whatever, can say they own it. Well, all they own is a piece of paper. They don't actually own, they cannot own the physical land. And if they are claiming authority over us as living men or women, that's actually slavery under this Act of Slavery, which has been outlawed, that a corporation and a person cannot claim ultimate authority and jurisdiction over another living man or woman. And if it is, that is considered slavery, and slavery has been illegal for years. But they do have jurisdiction if you produce for ID your driver's license or your passport or your bank card, which always has your surname in capitals, your Christian names in there, and then it has your date of birth. They'll ask for your address. Once you give that ID, you've just identified yourself as that dead corporate entity, and then themselves as a dead corporate entity have jurisdiction over you. So I know it's quite a head exploder, but once you understand this concept and get it, you look at everything with new eyes. And you read and you see how we're just tricked into contracting with these people again and again.
That's right. Well, I recently did an interview where I said, well, 20,000 years ago, somebody wakes up. They may be in a cave, maybe under a tree, but they were a free being. They could walk around, they could wander, they could hunt, they could gather, they could pick. Everything was available to them. They were free-range human beings. Cut to today, and what is it? ID, passports, license, and you have your telephones tracking you, there's CCTV tracking you in the city. The whole thing has changed hugely in this 20,000 years, but in actual fact, it's happened really, really fast in the last 30 years, 40 years so or so. I'm speaking with Heather Mary Pennycook of aag.org.nz, Agricultural Action Group. aag.org.nz.
It has, and it's all about control. That very small 1% of the population, the global elite, they want control. It's not even about money anymore. They've got trillions of dollars. It's about control. It's about eradicating the little people. Their term for us is the useless feeders. How's that for?
That's been going on for quite...
We're just the useless feeders.
Useless eaters. Useless eaters.
Feeders.
Yep. Now... Can I ask you a little bit more about, you've said local groups are forming in communities post the Agriculture Action Group meetings. So I can only envision all the little towns up and down New Zealand where the farmers and their wives and families and other people there, because this caters for anybody there who's a horticulturalist or who's also into other crops, and they must all be bought into this conversation, everyone who's doing something out there special. Orchardists.
It doesn't have to be ag sector either, Tim, because
about
this, all the businesses who rely on the ag sector, whether they're cartage firms or stock feed firms, and then you go out wider and you've got the rural communities. Well, their well-being depends on having a thriving economy around them. And then even if you look at the urban dwellers, Wellington, Auckland, the big, the major centres, if the farmers aren't sending the food into the supermarket, they're all up the creek as well. So when we go into our talks, we always call them community and farming talks.
Good, very good.
Yes. Any and everybody's welcome. Food comes from the land. You remove the farmers and the food, we're all in a whole lot of trouble. So you look at the moves from the government also to control the water. So the three waters, where they're centralising the control of water, they're talking about people, even if you've got a spring on your farm, you're going to have to add chlorine. The next thing you know, you have to add fluoride. Fluoride is a neurotoxin. It's an industrial waste.
Well, we've done...
And so, yeah, there's a myriad of things coming through, all which are harmful to the people. And as you said, we are born free. At that basic right, we're born free, and nobody has the right to impose harm on us. And it's been just a gradual loss of our freedoms. We've been indoctrinated. We all naturally trust authority figures. We believe they're doing the best for us. Why? Because there's so much proof that they are not anymore.
I hear you.
We have to remove our rose-tinted spectacles.
Very...
It's got, they're so outright about their intentions at the moment. I mean, there's been the real farce in the mainstream media, which is a total propaganda machine, but lately they've been saying how Jacinda is talking about people who own utes. They're putting in a new tax, which will be up to $6,000 if you buy a new ute truck. Well, if you're a farmer or a agricultural tradesperson or a tradesperson in town, a plumber, a painter, whatever, you're probably going to need a ute to carry your stuff around. But they're saying this group of people who buy utes really don't need them. It's an illegitimate use of a vehicle, so we're adding a $6,000 tax on anybody who buys a new ute. I mean, since when did the government tell you what vehicle you could own and why? If you've earned enough money to buy a truck and you believe you need it, whether you want a four-wheel drive in the weekend or tow a boat or you need it for your actual work, that's your prerogative. If you've earned the money, you spend it on what you want. Since when can the government tell us what vehicle we should drive? And if we're driving one they don't like, they're going to tax us $6,000. They're not taxing the people on the Land Rovers or the people with the V8 engines. They're taxing people who basically service the agricultural industry or who are tradies. Why would you do that? Because you're trying to expedite the crashing of the economy. None of the ridiculous legislation they're passing makes sense unless you go back to the root cause, look in that agenda, and they're aiming to eradicate the agricultural industry.
Okay, well, look, can I take this a little bit further? There's an ex-CNN person who also worked on Good Morning America. His name is Greg Hunter, and he has USAWatchdog.com, USAWatchdog.com. And he's an interesting character. He's quite conservative. But he interviewed Dane Wigington very recently of geoengineeringwatch.org, geoengineeringwatch.org. And when I went up and had a look at your, they're coming for your animals on your website, I urge listeners to watch this closely because I flew as international flight crew for 17 years with Air New Zealand. And I left just before 1994, and I never once saw these chemtrails coming from out from behind an aircraft. And it took me about 15. Yep. It took me about 15 years to get a real handle on it. And I can assure you, there is something very secretive and not secretive happening as well. Having witnessed these geoengineering experiments now happening across New Zealand, I've got a lot of photos, and especially especially when you see the weather events coming down each side of Northland, keeping the rain out to sea. So there's some strange things happening in Northland. And so Green Planet did a very good interview from a New Zealand standpoint on that. So I'm encouraging people to go up to greenplanetfm.com and have a look at the slider and see the pages come through every 3 seconds and have a look at that one, what geoengineering is about. Well, Greg Hunter of US Watchdog and his interview of Dane Wigington of geoengineeringwatch.org out of the States, Dane Wigington showed maps of what's happening in the United States. And he said, we are having droughts now in the United States. He said, I can see how they're doing all this crisscross of chemtrails and they're killing the food growing areas. They're trying to crash the food growing in the United States of America. So it's not only in New Zealand that they're wanting.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, the countries in the world are in lockstep. As I say, there was 192 that signed that UN agenda. And one of their best ways of controlling the people is food and water shortages and energy, of course. And I have a friend who has family still in India, and she sent me some videos. And what's happening in India at the moment is the Defence Force is burning crops of field and burning depots which hold food. They are having severe food shortages. There's people starving already. And so it's definitely one of their prime tactics for subjugating people is shortages of food, shortages of water. And of course, if you look here in New Zealand, as they're phasing out all gas and coal, electricity generation, etc., they've said openly they're expecting energy shortages. You know, they've shut down Marsden Point.
Yes.
It already takes weeks, if ever, to be able to import goods into New Zealand. So as soon as their fuel supplies stop coming in, then we are totally shut down.
It seems,
you've got to look big picture, and it's just, you see, resource after resource taken away so that we cannot be self-sufficient, and hammering the farmers, hammering the food, that will certainly impact, particularly you look at our major cities, are the main population base. You bring the city people under control by cutting off their food, you're already three-quarters of the way there, aren't you?
Well, the Labor government got 100 or 110 armoured cars about 10, 12 years ago, very flash Canadian armoured cars. They've been sitting in mothballs all this time. They're not being used. And so it's a big question, what's going on there as well?
Yes, why would you think you need one of those? Another interesting thing too, Tim, to have a look at is if you get on the internet and you look up UNANZ, so that's the United Nations Association of New Zealand, and you will find that what they're doing is setting up regional offices all over New Zealand. I think there might be 9 already. I believe there's supposed to be 12. Why are you setting up 12 UN regional offices all over New Zealand unless you're planning for the UN to be in charge here?
Yes, that's a very interesting one. Now, can I also just quickly mention, it's really important at the moment, we cannot have our air contaminated or our water contaminated or our soil contaminated, because we've got to stop also spraying chemicals, period, because we've got to liberate the food chain from contamination so we can have healthy bodies and healthy minds. And this is really important. This is why for many, many years now, 10 years, have pushed regenerative or biological agriculture. If we can make sure that the farmers actually have the most healthiest food, because if you have biological and regenerative agriculture, the soil bacteria start to grow and expand, and it's really, really healthy for the soil, and you get healthy plants, you get healthy produce, etc. And also in your gut, in your intestines, it helps you to have healthy, healthy biomes inside ourselves. We have to have these organisms, microorganisms, to break down our food, and so that we extract all the energy from the food we take. So it's important that we have no GE. GE is definitely what they're endeavouring to sneak through all the time into this country. I've been in major battles to make sure that Northland in particular is a genetic engineering free zone and no glyphosate. And dear farmers and listeners, if you see a paddock anywhere in New Zealand that seems to be very, very orange, they have sprayed that with glyphosate, and they will spray that, and within 4 days they will allow cows to come in and eat whatever's there, because usually they'll spray a paddock so that they can get rid of all growth so that they can put in a new crop, be it potatoes or be it pumpkins or whatever. But these orange paddocks, when the cow eats that, the orange leaf, they are taking in glyphosate. And when overseas they find out that all the baby formula and the milk powder that we're sending overseas, the butter, the cheese, etc., has got glyphosate, the world market will say, New Zealand, you're off limits, you've spoiled the food. This is really important.
It is. Heather Mary. Totally agree, Tim.
Thank you, because I've done interviews around this. And what it is that the Federation farmers, they're not doing anything about it, where once upon a time they had organic farmers who were the president or chairman of the Federated Farmers. No more. They've been infiltrated, just like, shall we say, Fonterra. Fonterra could have New Zealand be the greatest organic producer of buttermilk and milk powder. And what's happened? They too have, they've bought in to the corporate game, the government game, and they're all captured.
Yes, and just to make the point that there are some good people left in
Thank you.
Federated Farmers and Beef and Land and Dairy NZ, but from the executive level, where the direction comes from, they are totally in bed with the government. Now, Owen Jennings stood up at our meeting at Ngātia, and one of the first things he said, this is a man who was president of Fed Farmers for years, and he said all those supposed advocacy groups are in the tent with the government. And when you're already in the tent with the government, may have been in the bed, then you are not advocating for the farmers. There was a recent mainstream media article with Andrew, the president of Fed Farmers, saying, read very much that he was saying, yes, Federated Farmers agreed with the government that these 17 sustainable development goals needed to be implemented across the country. I mean, it's so blatant now that in councils, community plans, etc., they've got the UN logo all over it. They've got the 17 sustainable development goals. And of course, they've indoctrinated their youth that dairy farmers are poisoning the planet, that farming's dirty, that everybody needs to eat grasshoppers and have an electric car. But you do the math, do the research. Posted a great video on their Facebook page the other day, which shows that the environmental cost of the batteries of the electric cars, the fact that you can't recycle them, the fact that children in Africa are sent into mines and worked like slaves to get the rare metals that you need to create them. You know, it's all a farce. It's a total farce. And we're just bombarded 20 hours a day on social media and through 6 o'clock news and our newspapers with a stream of propaganda. It's not truth.
Agreed. Well, look, mainstream media in New Zealand and globally, it's all captured. And we have to get through to it, you see. And the fact that they got $50 million here, the New Zealand government gave $50 million to media, they didn't come down and say, hey...
Yeah, they've had 125 in total, I think, Tim.
Well, Green Planet did not see one brass razoo of that.
Oh, I'm pleased, because otherwise you'd be biased.
Yeah, so, well, look, this is very, very important for you, and I'm so glad that to know that you're out in the rural sector voluntarily... doing it in your own time. It's a labour of love. And so I honour you and all that you do, and with Rob as well, because this is the way it's going to happen. It's people of a good heart who are honest and want to make sure that our children have a future, particularly all biota on our planet. We have to make sure that we keep a healthy animal sector. I just did an interview 2 weeks ago with Scott McIndoe of Legacy, talking about what's happening in the New Zealand waters. And he said, look, we are in a critical situation. There's only snapper, really, now, because that's the only pugnacious fish that can live here. And because there's a small population, it hasn't been all taken out of the water. But he said, I want to see, from high tide to low tide, a rahui, which is a time of rest or a fallow, for 5 years. No pippies, no mussels, nothing off that beach at all. He said, let it rest, let it recuperate. And I see people with nets all up and down the place where I live, and they're taking all the time. I can see six lots of people with nets on the beach in one day.
Wow.
And they're unconscious. I say, oh, what's the name of that fish there? And they say, oh, I don't know. The Maori name, I'll say. And then I'll say, where is the spawning grounds? Oh, I don't know. What time is the spawning season? Oh, I don't know. See, they've got no connection. Wow. Where once upon a time, a farmer could stand on his land and he could feel the wind, he could smell the fragrances of different flowers in the orchard or something like that. He knew from the cows how they were mooing. If they didn't moo, usually they're busy eating. But they'll moo loudly if they're standing in a paddock full of just mud and stubble because they're hungry. We have to be able to be aware of change of the seasons and the temperature and the barometer and all that sort of thing to make sure that we care for our land, because it's a great honour to be able to have some land and nurture it and steward it for future generations.
Yes, we're all kaitiaki. We're all guardians of what we've been given wherever we're living, and whether it's just your front garden or whether you're lucky enough to be living on a piece of whenua at the moment. And Tim, I just thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to speak on your platform and reach more people. And as you say, it is about reconnecting. We've had our connections stolen, our connections with the land and nature, and our connections with each other. And it is so important, because we've delivered what could be viewed as quite a bit of bad news in this interview, but the good news is that we're the 99%. And once we understand, once we know the truth, and we come together in groups and we support each other and we encourage each other and we decide together how we can stand united and take a stand for what we want in our future, everything changes. And if there's just one or two people trying to do something, they get taken out. But united we stand together, and divided we fall. And we have to re-establish community groups, and we need to know our neighbours and have each other's backs and turn up if someone's coming to harass someone because they're pushing back. We need to all turn up there and stand there with their arms folded and back each other up. All we've got to do is the opposite of what government and society has done to us over the last few decades. They've separated, isolated and misinformed us. So now we need to find out the truth, build our connections, get back to what's real, not this virtual reality stuff. And together we can turn this around. So we believe that ultimately we're bringing a message of hope, and that we definitely can turn things around and create a good future. And if we do nothing, we'll all lose everything. As they say, terrible things happen when good people do nothing.
Yes, families on the farm are really important. Corporate farms are a no-no at the moment, because all they're going to do is steal the future. Heather Mary, I just want to say thank you so much. and have everybody share, share and share. We've got to get this message out. Email it, text it, speak on the telephone, at your grocery store, whatever you go, share this message. So love to you, aroha to you and Rob and the team, and I'm going to get you back sometime very shortly again.
Thank you so much, Tim, and you guys keep up your amazing work too. Much aroha to you.
That was Heather Mary Pennycook of aag.org.nz. aag.org.nz. In closing this very important interview, I wish to emphasise that we as an individual, a family, community, region, and as a country can rise to the occasion of a heartfelt, unifying spirit of cooperation. We are now starkly realising that there's a stealthy global control game being enacted to lock us down as a humanity. That over the last few decades, we have been dumbed down by the media and an educational system that teaches us not to question or to be curious and to wonder. All you have to do is listen to the inane news every hour on all the talkback and musical stations. 3 minutes of drivel, as the saying goes. This can be seen with mainstream media, with the younger generation not reading a newspaper, be it local or national, or watching the news at TV1, TV3, parrot virtually the same continuous rhetoric. We have found ourselves drowning in the same semi-censored swamp of sameness, with a media that takes its feeds from overseas that are all multinational corporations pushing the same agenda. The churches have failed us too. Christianity has taken a hit in this country, just like other Western countries, because they virtually bored people to death and failed to call a halt to corrupt practices and stand up for justice. Sadly, you can see this today with near-vacant churches across the country. Yet from most religious accounts, we are spiritual beings having an earth experience, that we are far more than we ever thought possible. Huge numbers of people globally have had out-of-the-body or near-death experiences, where they have found themselves outside their body, looking down on it, in many cases seeing doctors frantically working to keep their body alive. GreenPlanetFM.com has done a number of interviews based on this and what is the soul. Note that over the last 70 years, universities and educational institutes have been swayed to believe that the universe is a fluke of existence, that God does not exist, nor does the soul, and consequently they have done away with anything metaphysical or spiritual. Yet there are more and more people having mystical experiences, and there is a fast-growing body of evidence realizing that we live after death, and that our body is in fact a temple, which we need to cherish with fresh air, pure water, and an organic food chain, plus, as family and friends, experience love, laughter, and joy. Thank you. Decide to network. Use every letter you write, every conversation you have, every meeting you attend, every email you send, and remember, even Facebook, to tweet and to express your fundamental beliefs and dreams. Affirm to others the vision of the world you want. Network through thought. Network through action. Network through love. Network through the spirit. You are the center of a network. You are the center of the world. You are a free, immensely powerful source of life and goodness. Affirm it, spread it, radiate it. Think day and night about it, and you will see a miracle happen. The greatness of your own life in a world of big powers, media and monopolies, but of 7.8 billion individuals, networking is the new freedom, the new democracy, a new transparency, and a new form of wholeness and happiness. This originated by Dr. Robert Muller, Chancellor of the World Peace University in Costa Rica, Central America. I invite you to be able to come to greenplanetfm.com, where we have over 500 interviews in our database, which you can readily download and listen to. to be able to inspire yourself to become the change you want to see in the world. And become involved in caring for your children and grandchildren's future. We are also on Facebook, on Green Planet FM and ourplanet.org. Please come and love us. This is Tim Lynch in the spirit of Aroha, wishing you a wonderful week. We look forward to being with you next week.